turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 22. 2 Kings, chapter 22, we'll read verses 8 through 13 together. 2 Kings 22, verses 8 through 13. Second Kings 22, verses 8 through 13. And Hilkiah the priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, and brought the king word again, and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahias the servant of the king's, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that which is written concerning us. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church, and thank you for the word of God. It's so precious to us. Father, please, we need you. We're a needy people. We're a sinful people. God, please, calm our hearts. May we be attentive to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God today. Instill it in us and change us so that we could go out and reach many others for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated.
Today, I will teach you the answer to your problem. You say, but you don't know my problem. You're right. But I know the one who knows your problem. And I know where he put the answer to your problem. And I'm going to tell you the answer to your problem. The best advice I can give you is this. Read your Bible. All of it. Believe it. All of it. Obey it. All of it. Live it. All of it. We can close our Bibles and go home now. We're not going to. Because I will take the rest of this morning's service to say to you in many different ways what I just said to you quite simply. The answer to your problem is in this book. It is the problem, sir. Be careful. That I'm glad for you to say amen. Just be careful. I want everyone to say amen, but not to the point where everybody's attention's on you, not me. I'm better looking than you anyway. And that's not true. If you've seen him, his mama probably loves him very much. I believe the answer, look up this way, the answer to your problem is found in the pages of this old black book. I believe that. I believe that completely. I have something I want to show you this morning. This is our Baptist Church's dignified lost and found. Right here. You want to know what it's full of? These are Bibles. Now, if one of these is yours, don't say, oh, there's mine. No. continue to live in denial. These are the Bibles in the first box from Lost and Found. I'm not going to take them all out of the box. I have other boxes. Lost Bibles. When I was a young man, which I still am a young man, when I was a younger man, I remember my wife and I had visited a revival, about 30 minutes away from our home church. At the end of the revival, I had gone out into the parking lot and we got to fellowshipping with somebody. I took my Bible and I put it on top of the car, and we got to fellowship and it started to get dark, the sun started to go down, and I got in the car and we zoomed off. When I got home, I got to looking for my Bible. I looked in the back seat and the front seat and every place where I'd usually put it. It wasn't there. Then I did the normal thing. I blamed my wife. I said, "Where's my Bible? Where'd you put my Bible?" Well, it was nowhere to be found. And then, after searching my heart and my mind, I realized, oh, great. I drove off with my Bible on top of my car, and I lost it. I called the church. I said, "Hey, if you find a Bible in the parking lot, it'll have my name in it, etc." But I lost that Bible, and I was so disappointed that I'd lost my Bible. Then, I preached at the local jail. And I went up and preached every Tuesday night, five different times. I'd been preaching there for a long time. And then, I suppose, for well over a year I'd preach. And so I had preached my fair share of sermons there. And I remember one Tuesday night I went up to the jail. It was a year after this revival. And the sheriff said, "Could I talk to you for a second?" I said, "Sure." He said, "I think I have something of yours." I went into his office and he pulled out that old black book of mine. He laid it on the desk. He said, "That's yours, isn't it?" I said, "It sure is." He said, "Someone found this." He said, "And that someone that found it, they found it in a ditch." Said they drove by and its pages were blowing in the wind and they grabbed it and said, "Boy, that looks like that's an important book to somebody. It had notes in it and the pages were worn." And he said, "Now that somebody took it to the nearest farmhouse." And the people there laid it down and said, "Well, we're going to need to figure out who this belongs to." And they took it to the county where I had been, and they had somehow looked up and found out there was no Jeff Owens that lived in that particular city or county. And then they took it from there to our sheriff's department, or actually they told me they had given it to one of the deputies from our county. And then that deputy finally got it into the sheriff, and the sheriff said he just left it there. He didn't think anything of it. And one day he just flipped through the front page and seen the name, and he said, "And it's yours." That thing had gone from the top of my car into the ditch to the farmhouse to the local sheriff to a deputy to my sheriff and back to me. Mom will tell you something. I was real glad they found my Bible. It was lost, and then it was found. Now, we read just a moment ago with Brother Bush the story of Hilkiah finding the lost Word of God. Let me tell you the story again. A young king named Josiah sat on the throne of his country. Now, he was only 8. This young man was 8 years of age. Let me tell you something about this young king. The Bible says of him, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord." The Bible says about this young king, "And he walked in all the ways of David, his father," talking of the good ways. The Bible says of this young 8-year-old king that he turned not aside to the right or to the left hand. In other words, he stayed on the straight and narrow. He gave the order this young king gave the order to repair the house of God. And what that means is the house of God had been ignored by the previous king. The previous king had let the house of God go to waste. The previous king had not attended the house of God. The previous king had no interest in the word of God or the house of God. And so the church in that town had deteriorated. This young king comes on the scene at the age of 8 and says, we've got to get back to church. We've got to get back to serving God. And he said, we're going to rebuild the house of God. The previous king was a man by the name of Manasseh. 2 Kings 21:2, it says this of the previous king, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. It says he did after the abominations of the heathen. It says in verse number 6, he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord. The Bible says he turned God's house into a place of false gods. Now, you've got this wicked king that had let the word, let the house of God deteriorate and become unimportant. And it basically had shut down. They weren't even meeting there anymore. And if they did meet there, they were meeting there for the wrong purposes. And it was no longer all about God and His word. Well, this young king came along. This young king. And he says, I want to get back to the house of God. I want to get that place cleaned up and fixed up and groomed up. And I want it to become the most important place around here again. So, when Josiah, this 8-year-old king, goes to fixing up the house of God, he calls the man of God named Hilkiah. He said, Hilkiah, I'm going to make you the general contractor. Now, there may be craftsmen that will help us in the building and the fixing, but I'm going to put you in charge of that because you're the man of God and you're the one that's going to oversee it and you're the one that's going to preach there and you're the one that's going to bring the crowds in, so you'll be the general contractor. So this young man, Josiah, has a meeting and he pulls some people together and he tells them, he finds some carpenters and he finds some contractors and some people to work with him, and they get their crowbars and they get their saws and their sledgehammers, and they start dragging debris away because the house of God has been allowed to rot and to get messed up. They begin tearing some walls down and they start fixing this place up. And in the midst of this chaos of rebuilding the house of God, and I want you to picture it. I want you to picture the smoke off of some of the saw blades, and I want you to picture the sawdust, and I want you to picture it smelled like a construction site. I mean, there was raw wood, and they picked it up, and they're getting ready to use it, and had they used drywall or sheetrock back then, you'd see the dust, and you'd walk in, and maybe some bare wires here and there, and in the midst of all of the chaos, and all the nails being hammered, and the saws going back and forth, and the men doing things to fix up the house of God, Hilkiah makes a discovery. In 2 Kings 22:8 it says, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. Hilkiah is helping to tear down walls. They're rearranging. They're trying to make the church so it's usable so God's people can be there. And somehow they began to tear down a wall or two, and suddenly they look in and say, look at that. What is that in that wall there? They pull out the Word of God. The person said, well, what is this? It had been so long since they'd seen it. They didn't even at first probably recognize it. Look at this. You know, like you do to come to church Sunday morning, dust that thing off. Look at this. They began to read it. He found the Word of God. It had been lost. Isn't it sad that a church would have to rediscover the old black book? They had been so far away from it, they'd been away from it long enough, they didn't even know it was missing. Yeah. How in the world were they serving God? Well, they were doing their own thing. You know, choose the church of your choice. No, you're supposed to choose the church of God's choice. The Bible says in 2 Kings 22, verse number 8, said that he read it. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse number 10, he showed the king that he found the Bible. The Bible says in 2 Kings 22, 10, the last part of the verse, and he had it read to him. In other words, Hilkiah found it. He called one of the scribes in. He said, look at what I found. I found the Word of God. And they said, let's read it. And they started reading it. They said, wow, isn't this something? Isn't this? Oh, look at what it says, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live. No wonder God has not been blessing us. No wonder this place is falling apart. Right there's God's book. About God's house, about God's people. Hey, this is exciting. We got to show the king. The king is the one that told us to rebuild this place and see if we can get it off the ground again. The king is the one that told us to do this. Let's go tell the king. They ran in and they said, oh, Josiah, look what we found. And he said, read it to me. Read it to me. The Bible says in 2 Kings 22:11, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. So what is that? He was convicted. He was ashamed. He said to himself, I cannot. It's like he grabbed the front of his shirt and he said, oh, I can't believe. How have we allowed ourselves to get away from this? And he tore his clothes. It was a way to show agony and pain. It was a way to show his humility and his conviction that a country and a people and a church had gotten so far away from the book. The Bible says in 2 Kings 23:1, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. This 8-year-old boy said, hey fellas, we've got a great discovery. He said, I want you to gather all the leaders of Judah, gather all the leaders of Jerusalem. We're going to get this thing back where it belongs. We're going to call all the leaders of the country together, and we're going to show them what? The book! The book! 2 Kings 23, verse number 2, it says, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read, now the king, he said, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the Bible says this, picture this, they find it. They get excited about it. They call everyone together and say, look what we found. Look what we have. We've got the Word of God. And the king said, when I read it, I was devastated over the fact that we've not been living it. You're all here today. Let me read you what I found. And all the leaders and all the people, young and old, great and not so great. And all of them were there. And the Bible says this. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all their heart and all their soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. The king stood up and he read it and he said, I'm going to give my whole heart to this book. I'm going to give my whole soul to this book. I'm going to give my body to this book. I'm going to live it. And I stand today as the king. All these people say, here's God's book and I'm going to live it. The Bible says every single person there stood and said, we're with you, king. We're with you, king. We'll bow down to that book. The lost Bible had been found. America, your Bible's lost.
Yes, sir.
It's too bad. America's lost and found is full. Of Bibles. Full of Bibles. America, I found the book. I found it. I found, hey, I discovered what's wrong with America.
You see, she used to have this book as her guide. She used to believe this book. She came to this country to have freedom, to worship the God of this book, and to live the words of this book. America, if you want to know what's wrong, you've lost the old black book. The old black book has been lost from the pulpits and churches of America. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2, it says, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." I say to those men that are in the fraternity of God called preachers, it's time to get back to the old book. The Bible says we're to preach the word. We're to be instant, in season, out of season. You say, what does that mean? When it's popular and when it's unpopular. If you're a guest here today, God bless you. I'm glad you're here. I love you. I'm thrilled you're here today. But you're looking at a preacher that is committed, first of all, to the old black book. This is a church of the Bible. And we're talking about the King James Bible. You know, the most important thing that happens in a local New Testament church is the preaching of the Word of God. That is why, hey, if you're here today and you say, Brother Owens, every once in a while, there's a group of bus teenagers that sit right over in here, and sometimes they get to fiddling around in the church service, and sometimes they get to misbehaving in the church service, and I call them down. I say, hey, look up here. Stop talking back there. Girls, look up this way. You look up this way. You say, Brother Owens, why in the world would you do that? Why? Because we reverence that old black book. And when the old black book is being preached, we do not need the rebellious teenagers of this era talking and laughing and playing and hindering the preaching of the Word of God. It is not a personal vendetta that I have with the misbehavior in the church service. It is the reverence for the book of God. I found the book. I found the book. I found the book. And the king should have. He said, I found it and I'm going to live it. And everybody said, we're with you, King. Let's live the book. And I say to you, we have lost the Bible from our pulpits. We have lost the Bible from our churches. That's why we have nurseries here. We have nurseries here because the little ones need to be put in a nursery so mama and daddy can listen to the preaching of the book. If someone plays with their baby all the way through the service, and that baby doesn't know any better, when that baby cries, that baby doesn't know any better. So we have first-class organized nurseries where a mama can bring a baby in, put that baby in the nursery, come back out here, and we can exalt the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God so you can get it, so you can absorb it, so you'll be a better mother. So take that baby, put it in that nursery, come into church, let God watch out for that baby for a few minutes with some very capable nursery workers, and let us teach you the Word of God. That's why we have those nurseries. That's why. We love the children, but we have got to have as few disturbances during church as possible. Why? Right there's why. That book's why. That's why. That's the book. I found the book. In church, we've got to exalt the book. Turn off your cell phones now. You say, do you hate cell phones? Yes, I hate cell phones. They're evil. They're the second coming of the Antichrist. I mean, you can have 50 cell phones if you want. I don't care. But turn it off during church. Now, some of you need to reach down and right now. You say, why? Because I love you. And if your cell phone goes off now and interrupts this sermon, baby, are you in trouble? It would be perfect. So reach down, turn that thing off. Hey, and look, if yours vibrates, mega vibrate, it might be good that you turn it off because of the way the sound your lips make while it's vibrating. Abraham Lincoln was a great president. He didn't have a cell phone. You can turn yours off for an hour during church and let the Word of God be exalted and stop worrying about that thing. Can I recommend something? If you could go potty before the service, if you could just go potty before church starts, why do you wait? Now look, there are some who have some medical struggles. And I understand that. Set toward the back. That's fine. Have no problem. But why is it we can get about halfway through the exaltation of the Word of God, someone says, gotta go! You get up and you... Brother Butch Berman back here is about to have a baby. Every time you do that, he's thinking, why are you doing that? And then when you come back in, oh, yes! We're all really glad for you. We were busy concentrating. I was busy doing every antic in the world to keep everybody's attention while I was trying to keep them from thinking about what you were doing. Well, you can just about tell. Some of you work me overtime. You can just about tell when somebody's about to disturb my service. I got to start doing cartwheels up here. I got to stand on chairs. I got to think of something funny to say. Why? I'm trying to keep everybody's attention long enough to exalt the book. To exalt the book. This is not a theater. It's a church. We're not here to read comic books. We're here to read the Word of God. The Word of God is more important than the promotional item that the bus route might have. It's more important than the music that we sing. Now, thank God for the music. But I'm going to tell you something. All the music around here is pointing to one special thing. You say, what is that? Right there, the book. We're trying to get you ready for the book. We're trying to get your heart ready for the book. We're trying to get your mind ready for the book. We're trying to get you to the point where you respond, what? To the book. Most important thing going on around here. Thank God for the church decor. Tell you something. There are some churches, if they lost electricity like we have around here, if they lost all their pews due to a flood like we have around here, if they lost all their carpeting to a flood like we did around here, they'd shut church down. We didn't have to. We just took a whole bunch of old, nasty steel chairs, threw them in a gymnasium where it was 100 degrees, and had a revival service over there. Why? Because this church isn't all about the fancy carpet. It's not all about the chandeliers. It's not about the padded pew. Thank God we've got them. You say, what's this church all about? I'm glad you asked. Right there, the Bible, the Word of God. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. You don't have to have a fancy church. All you need is a fancy God with a fancy book, and I've got one. I've got my God, and I've got the old black book. Bible's lost. It's lost in our churches. It's lost in our homes. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9, it says, "And these words," that's the Word of God, "these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou settest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." We have lost the Word of God from our houses. We've lost the Word of God from our homes. The Bible says here, we are to be teaching that book in our homes. We are to talk of this when we sit down together in our homes. When we are walking by the way, when we're walking around our property, we're to be talking about the things of God. The Bible says when we sit down, we're to talk about it. When we lie down. You know something? There truly is, I think, something to parents having good night prayers with their kids. Here the Bible says when thou liest down. What's it talking about? The last thing on your mind and the last thing on your children's mind in your home before you go to bed at night ought to be God. And then it says when thou risest up, that means the very first thing on your mind, the very next morning is all about the book. All about the book. You know, there are churches that would gag to hear a sermon like this. Couldn't take it. Why? Lost and found. They've lost the Bible. They've lost it. The Bible says that we are to even post the Word of God in our homes. If you're going to post it, make sure it's a King James Bible. God's Word is to be lived in our homes. God's Word is to be taught in our homes. God's Word is to be read in our homes. God's Word is to be respected in our homes. You know something? There's not supposed to be two different lifestyles for a Christian. You're not to carry this book into church and for a moment live by it. And get in your car, drive off the property, and go home and live different. This is not a one-day book. This is a seven-day book. This is not a two-hour on Sunday morning book. This is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 52 weeks out of the year, 365 days from the day you are born until the day that you die. And if you're saved for the rest of eternity, look, we're to live it every day of every moment. We're to live it, we're to live it, we're to live it, we're to live it. And the Bible is missing in our homes. Let me tell you something. You may have a black book in print, but let me ask you, does it get thrown and lost and found all week long at home? Are you rearing your kids according to it? You got your lost and found box at home? When you get home from church, you throw your Bible in the box and say, let's lose that until we have to go to church again. We've lost it in our schools. Psalm 73:11 says, and they said, say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? In this psalm, someone is questioning if God knows, if God has the knowledge that's needed. Is there knowledge in the Most High? These folks say there are some things that God does not know. Well, I've got news for these idiots. God knows everything. It says, the Bible teaches we're not to be learning from the heathen. Listen, Deuteronomy 18:9 says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. You and I may live in the United States of America, but we are not to be like them. We're to be like our country. What's our country? Heaven. Heaven, we're only visitors here. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me. Hey, the angels say, hey, oh, it won't be long. You're coming over. Get your eyes off the world. Keep your eyes on me. You're coming home. And I thank God for it. I'm not to be learning the ways of this world. Proverbs 9:10 says, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You better make sure you start your child's education in this book. They better learn that God knows everything. They better learn that it is God that is the controller of all knowledge. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:17, bow down thine ear, and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 27 says, thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Here the Bible says there are teachers that transgress against God. How do they do it? They put the book in lost and found. America! Teachers! What are you doing with the book? You go back into the history of America, you'll find the old black book in the schoolhouses. What'd they do to it? Threw it out, didn't they? And I do not do what I'm about to do irreverently. I'll show you what public school did. They took this book. Did they or didn't they? Is this Owensology or did they or didn't they? Amen? They kicked it out. Now, if you go to a public school, God bless you. And you can be a good Christian in a public school. I have a question for you. Are you? Are you? They lost the Bible. They kicked it out. You know, it used to bother Christians when we would talk about the era or that year that they kicked the Bible out of the school. It used to bother them. You know what it is today? Accepted. We have become so liberalized, it doesn't bother us anymore. Hey, some of you old-timers, you used to talk about it, didn't you? You used to say, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they did that. What's this country coming to? Can I tell you what this country's coming to? This country has come to where it's at right now. That book is banned. It's not allowed. You're not to talk about it. A teacher cannot get up and teach from that book. They're told they're not to do it. Well, then I know what we need to do. We'll get armed security guards then. And metal detectors. And we're going to have to tell them how not to get AIDS, so we'll get them birth control devices. And you can go get an abortion at the public school and not tell your mom. And you can get birth control and not tell your mom. We've come a long way, baby! You say, Brother Owens, what happened?
They lost the book.
Yes, sir.
They lost the book. Do they want the Bible? No. You say, Brother Owens, I want it in there. Okay, good. Help us. Get it in there then. I've got a real good idea. You know, the ACLU is really, really hammering Christianity. They're the ones that want us to stop advertising Christmas. They don't want us to have manger scenes. They don't want it to be called Christmas. They want it to be called a holiday. You know what I would like every Christian in America to do? I'd like every one of them to send the ACLU a Christmas card. It just seems like a good idea to me. Now, if I had time, I would mount that idea and make it happen. But I'm telling you, what's happening? What's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. We threw the book in the lost and found. Even Christian schools. There are Christian schools everywhere. They would rather be a private school than truly a Christian school. Christian schools, they left. We left the public school because we wanted the freedom to use this book. The average Christian school, they don't go by this book. They don't go by this book. Their convictions are not by this book. The average Christian school teaches a kid that you come to school and you live one way and then you go home and you live another way and they have a double standard. They don't believe the Bible ought to tell you how to live. You just come up with a few giddy little rules that make you look like a Christian, but you're not to act like a Christian. The other days of the week, that's a bunch of tomfoolery. Many Christian schools of today are no better than the public schools of 50 or 60 years ago. And parents that get upset with me, listen to this, parents that get upset with me because I say something about the public school. I love you, I love your kid. Let me ask you this question. You read your Bible every day? Do you walk with God? Hey, parent that would get upset with me, let me ask you this question. Are you right with God? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God as you lead your family? How you doing with the book? When was the last time you won anybody to Jesus Christ? The question I ask, where's the book at in your thinking? Now listen, all our kids that attend public school, Brother Owens is your friend and I love you. I love you and I'm your friend. I have seen tens of thousands of public school young people saved through my ministry. Thousands. Thousands. I'll be criticized by someone that thinks I don't love them. Oh, I do. But look, I got to tell you, there are not very many institutions in the United States of America that kick the Bible out. They said, no, it's not going to be so. What happened? Through the book and the lost and found. I'll have someone irate with me about this sermon. Irate. Think, sir, just think, am I doing anything other than uplifting the word? I have some people here that are good, godly Christians. They teach in the public schools. They don't put their kids in the public school. They put the kids in the Christian school. You say, why? They know. I had a teacher say to me, I would not put my kids in the public school. Teachers! In the public school. Are you listening? I'm not attacking anybody. I'm trying to tell you, wake up! Wake up! Wake up! What do they lose? The book. Hey, even colleges. Well, the colleges of America are cesspools. Co-ed dormitories. My goodness. Turning out atheists and critics and scorners. We even have Bible colleges that have left the book. They call themselves Bible colleges, and they take the word Bible off if they're not going to believe the Bible. Hey, is the Word of God lost in your life? I find that the Word of God is lost. Where's it lost? It's lost from our pulpits in our churches. It's lost from our homes. It's been lost from our schools. It's been lost from our personal lives. Do you read your Bible?
I'm going to guess we can figure out here how it got lost from everything else. It wouldn't have been lost from our schools if everybody that went to them had been taught to read it all day long. You read your Bible? Is the only reading of the Bible that you get done when we read it to you at church? The Bible says in Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. It's not just talking about some rye bread or wheat. It's talking about the Word of God. This is going to get a little personal for a second. Choir? You reading your Bible daily? Staff? Employees of the church? You reading your Bible daily? Deacons? Can I tell you how churches get away from that book? Oh, all the leadership in the church gets away from the book. We're around the things of God, but we're not right with God. Bus captains, you reading your Bible? Parents, you reading your Bible? You parents that get upset with me because I set a high standard for the rearing of kids, just let me ask you one question. Are you right with God in regard to your Bible reading? Some of you, your pride and arrogance will climb right over the top of that statement. It won't matter. You're still going to be mad at me because I preached a sermon like this. You're still. You say, no, I don't like that. I don't like it. You'll find something to attack me. But the truth is, all the way down in the depth of your heart, you're not even right with God. Teenagers? You say, well, I go to the Christian school. I'm not asking if you go to the Christian school. You reading your Bible daily like you ought to? Can I tell a couple of you why you have such a rebellious spirit and you won't obey your mom and dad and you won't do what you're told? You don't read your Bible. You don't appreciate that book. You don't. Hey, you, if you really love that book, you'd obey mom and dad. Because that book says to. Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Did you know something? He tells us to read the Bible daily. You want to know why? Because He will load you up with daily benefits. You can tell somebody that's been getting loaded up. Hey, when you're loaded, you can tell. So you talking about being drunk when somebody is loaded? On moonshine, you can tell. But let me tell you something else. When somebody is loaded with the Word of God, you can tell. You can tell because they got a smile on their face. They don't frown. They don't turn their nose up. They don't say, well, I don't like this. I don't like this about God and the church. Hey, people that are loaded on the Word of God have some of the best attitudes you ever met in your life. They're loaded up on what? His benefits. Look, if we'd just stop and realize all the benefits we have, we wouldn't gripe so much. What benefits? You're telling on yourself. You read the Bible, it loads you up. The Bible says, He loadeth us up with benefits. When? Daily. Some of you started to read your Bible through, and you quit. It's time to get back on it. Do you lose your Bible around the house? Under the TV guide? Is that under the romance novel? You can't find it because it's covered up with your financial portfolio and the reports from the Edwards Company, or E. Edwards, or A. G. Edwards, or A. B. C. D. F. G. Edwards. Is it under the sports page? I'll promise you, there's somebody in this room is more faithful to read the sports page than they are to read their Bible. And they are some of my biggest critics. I made a statement in a sermon. I love this. I made a statement in a sermon, last month or so. I said, there's this one gal, and she's contrary. She's been contrary with me, doesn't like me. And she's been like that for 4 years. And I guarantee you, she doesn't even read her Bible. But I'm wrong. The preacher's wrong, but she don't read her Bible. She don't walk with God. She's not spiritual. I had one of our dear sweet ladies come to me. She said, but once, for a moment, I thought, oh no, has he misread me? And then she said, but then God gave me peace because I read my Bible every day. And I love you, and you and I are on the same page. I'm so proud of her. She was able to stabilize herself and her emotions because she said, wait, I'm stable. I read my Bible every day. I am right with God. We've lost the Bible. We've lost it from our homes. We've lost it from our personal life. We've lost the Bible from our minds. We don't memorize the Bible anymore. You memorize John 3:16 when you're a kid and you think that's enough, and some of you couldn't even quote that today. We don't memorize the Bible. We're not interested in it. You know, the Bible says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Did you know if you'd think about the Bible, you could start living according to the Bible? What do you think about? First Timothy 4, verse 15 and 16 says, "Meditate on these things." Psalm 119, verse number 15 says, "Meditate on the Bible." Psalm 143, verse 5 says, "Meditate on the Bible." Psalm 1, verse 2 says, "Meditate on the Bible." God, let me tell all you new members, there are people that come and join us. They come to us. There's some of you come to us from other churches where they left the Bible, and you come to us from other counties and other cities and other states. Can I tell you something? The spirituality of this church will not sustain you. You come here to get strength. You say, "I need to be there. That's the place I need to be." Well, let me tell you something. You can be here all you want, but if you don't get you right with God, the spirituality of this preacher and this staff and this church and these other spiritual people, it will not sustain you. You need to read the Bible for you. You need to get close to God for you. You need to read your Bible. You say, "I love what's going on around here." I can tell you one reason why I stand confidently. I don't mean to be arrogant, but I stand confidently, and I'll tell you why. That book right there. Right there. Right there. The old black book. We've let the Word of God slip from our decision making. Psalm 31:3 says, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Mom and dad, the decisions you make for your kids, do it with this book. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct thee and teach them in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Let the Bible tell you which way to go. Psalm 73:24 says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." And what the Bible teaches, that this book is where we get our counsel. This book is what leads us. This book is what guides us. This book tells us which way. This book tells us where to go. Psalm 78:72 says, "So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." What's it saying? This book has been put together by God. And God, through the skillfulness of His hand, will lead you with this book. That book right there. That book. You want to know something? I am not... If you ever want to talk to me about something in the church, come see me. I'm glad to. Did you know that I can even be corrected? Say how? Right there. Your emotions won't correct me. Your opinion won't correct me. I'm going to tell on myself about something. I think this will be good for you. May not be good for me. I'm about to use poor leadership skills. Years so ago, we had made the decision that we needed to do the spanking in our Christian school. I felt like, because parents, when it was time to spank their child, would come in and tap them. So, it would make a mockery out of the discipline system. So we got together and said, "Well, maybe we need a spank, and we could do so legally. We can do so. We checked with the lawyers. We could legally do so. Parents signed. Let us do that." Thought about it all year long. Talked to a parent or two and promised them this. I said, "I'll pray about that." Because they said, "Preacher, we don't understand exactly. We don't see where the Bible says that others are supposed to spank their kids." I said, "Well, that's what we're going to do this year." And they loyally followed. Thank God for them. Thank you. Thanks for trusting me. But I did what you asked me to do. Prayed about it, thought about it all year long. Recently, got together with the staff and said, "I think they're right. Changed my mind." According to what?
Amen.
Right there. Word of God. Now, you're attacking me off of your feeling or your emotional appeal. You're going to get anywhere. Even the preacher needs to learn the Word of God. It ought to be before his opinion.
the Word of God. So we made a change. Based on what? The Word of God. Some of you need to get back to the Word of God. Don't lose it from our Sunday school. Sunday school teacher, teach the Word of God. Play a game, sing a song, have some fun, but teach the Word of God. Let's not lose it from the mission of the church. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We need to get people saved. How? Why? Because the Bible says so. The Word of God. The Word of God. Before you pass judgment on me about the strength of this sermon, defending, uplifting the Word of God, just answer this question. What's your relationship with that book? You read it daily? Does your wife know what kind of stuff you got going on behind her back as you look at things you shouldn't look at instead of looking at the Word of God? You angry with me because you're backslidden? You mad at me because I'm exalting the Word of God above everything? Then you'll have to remain angry. I have no choice. We want to do things according to what? That book. They tore down a wall. Hilkiah said, "Hey, look at that. Look what I found. Look at this. Hey, come here. Let's read it. Wow. Look at this. Here's the answer to our problem. Here it is. Our country's all right with God. The leaders are all right with God. The parents are all right with God. People are backsliding and depressed and away from God. I found the book. I found the book." They ran to the king and said, "Oh, king, look at this." He said, "Read it to me." They read it. He said, "Get everybody together. Call them all together. Hey, everybody, leaders from all over the country, moms and dads and teenagers." And the king stood and he said, "Give me that book." The great congregation was there. He popped the Bible open and he began to read it. The Bible says he read all of it that they had at that time. And the king said, "I do solemnly swear with my hand upon the Bible, with my whole heart, with my whole mind, with all my body, all the decisions for this country, all that I have, I'm going to covet, to love the book, to do everything by the book." And the Bible says every single person stood and said, "We're with you." Here's the sad thing. If we did that today in this congregation, there's some who at this very moment cannot wait to race out the back door, get in their car, and get out of here. Would you stand and say, "God, I'm 100% in. That book will become everything to me"? They did. They did. And a revival broke out, pretty good one back then. Here they are. Lost and found. At the church. Said, while you're driving around at your job, listening to rock and roll music and all that stuff, maybe you ought to get you a CD of the Bible and listen to it. You'd not be so angry with me. That's one box. We got a bunch of them. The Bible. Its authority's been lost. Some of you come from denominations, you would have never in a million years heard a sermon preached like this. That denomination's wrong. It's wrong. It's liberal. Good thing you got out of it. You would have died and gone to hell probably. The book. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.